It's the Criterion. It's the Criterion. 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 And Project.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Criterion Project. We're really excited to be here to be talking about more films that we've been watching on the Criterion channel, including the film A Separation that we're going to be talking about today. And Conrado is here, and we have a special guest today. His wife, Saja, is with us, and we're so excited to get to talk with her.
So excited to be here. I love podcast chatting so very much.
Yeah, this is our second time having you on one of my podcasts, and we had so much fun where we did a little tournament on our favorite summer movies a couple of weeks ago. So if y'all haven't listened to that, you should check that out. I'll put it in the description section. But we just had to have you back on.
Yeah.
Ooh, you said a couple of weeks ago. It feels like it was years ago.
Yeah, it does.
That's true. At a weird pace. Yeah, but I just want to say before we get started that if people enjoy hearing Saj's beautiful podcasting voice, she does co-host a podcast of her own called Pod Queens, and I am one of the producers. So if you enjoy this conversation, check that out.
Yes, you totally should. Yeah, why don't you maybe introduce yourself to our audience since this is the first time on the Criterion Project.
Alrighty. Well, hello everyone. I'm Sajda, and I am, as mentioned, Conrado's wife. And I am a predominantly actress, but I am a theater queen, is how I would call it. And for Pod Queens, as a podcast, it's really about three queens wading through the murky waters of culture.
Mm-hmm.
We do lots of hot takes on culture, and it's quite a lot of fun.
That's awesome. The latest episode was about the 90s fashion music. The next episode will be about 90s TV and movies. Mm-hmm. So,
That sounds fun. I have another little podcast that I do with some of my friends where we talk about The Nanny. So we talk about 90s fashion all the time on there. So I'll have to listen to that.
Yeah, great show.
Oh, and that's just delightful.
The Nanny, right?
I love it. Yeah. So have you all been watching anything on the Criterion channel, or just what have you all been watching lately?
We have. Do you want to go first?
Sure. We watched Personal Problems, which I didn't even know this existed until I saw like a tweet with a little clip from it. And I was like, who are these beautiful black queens just like doing their own version of Sex and the City, but even more like, I don't know, raw, I guess I would say, maybe.
Yeah.
And so we watched that and I was like, oh, I like felt so seen, especially by like the main character, because she literally said something, I think it was like, crazy, you want to see crazy? Oh, I can show you crazy. And I was like, mom, are you here? My mother entered the chat and it was really great.
That a new movie or older, or I've heard
so Personal Problems is Bill Gunn, who is the director of Ganja and Hess, if anyone knows that movie. At some point in the late 70s, I think 1979 or 1980, they made a pilot for a TV show that was supposed to air on PBS. And they did two episodes, and it was a TV show about, I guess, black people living in the city that was supposed to show a different side of black life than it was seen at the time. Like, there was a lot of, you know, blaxploitation movies back then. So it was kind of supposed to be a little bit of an opposite of that. But the show was not picked up, and the pilots for a long time were lost. So now there's a restoration of the two episodes together. So they are very weird looking, right? Because they were shot on video very early. And so the quality is kind of what you would call like low quality now, but it almost feels like it's like a,
It feels like a documentary when you're watching it.
It feels like a documentary, and it feels like something that's been like lost in like a weird space and time, and you're seeing like a weirdly ghostly projection of these people because the image is blurry, and when someone moves, it's kind of, they look like a little bit ghosty. It's like, it feels like a, it's very strange. It's a very unique experience, I would say.
Yeah,
I haven't heard of that one. That sounds good. That sounds really good. And that's on the Criterion?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to watch.
It just came to Criterion, I think this month, maybe, or maybe last month.
That's probably why the person tweeted it. They probably
Yeah, cool. Well, I have not been able to watch anything on Criterion. I've been very, very busy watching a lot of different new films. I actually am about 4 reviews behind. And also I decided for my ranking series to rank all of the movies based on Disney attractions and rides. I don't know why I made this choice, but anyway, I ended up watching, there was 10 different movies that were involved in this, including all of the, Pirates movies. So I rewatched all of them. And I think I was hoping that I would kind of find a hidden gem, or that I would like them better than I did on the initial watch, or the last time I watched them. And I really didn't. It was a pretty, it was one of those rankings where I'm like, which one do I like less? I don't know. I mean, I really like the first Pirates. But the rest of the series is not my favorite, although it does have some strengths. But there was also, I watched Tomorrowland again, which I was hoping I'd like more on the rewatch, but I really didn't. I think it has a lot of good ideas, but it doesn't put them together in a cohesive way. I watched a weird movie called Mission to Mars, which is a movie that on paper should be really good, but because it has all of these incredible ingredients, directed by Brian De Palma. It has this incredible cast, and it has an Ennio Morricone score. I mean, just all these things, it should be great, but it's very not great.
I just want to know what you thought of the Country Bears movie. Did you mention
that? Yeah. That is a movie. I mean, that was part of that. I'd heard about it as this just kind of epically almost bad movie. And it is so weird. It is one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen.
What would you say to the people that say that the Muppets movie that Jason Segel did is just basically a remake of the Country Bears movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
In blood almost, right?
Yeah, kind of. You're right. I mean, the plot is just basically a save the venue kind of movie, which we've seen a million times. But just these bears that you can actually see the spot where the head of the costume comes on over, and so it's like it's not even. It's like, are there regular bears in this world? And then there's these weird, and like the one lead bear, his brother is the only one in the whole movie who's like, doesn't anybody care that he's a bear? Like, he's like this only thing. And yeah, and then you have Chris Cooper playing a bear who is like obsessed with the lawn. Like, what's going on? I don't know. It's a really odd film. But anyway, so that was an interesting experience to watch all of those. I had never seen The Country Bears, but now I have. So
and I assume that's available in Criterion, right?
Yeah. I finally watched the Birds of Prey movie, so that was an experience. I watched The Rental, which I thought had a lot of good pieces, but I thought it did not pull everything together in a successful way. I did not like the last like 20 minutes of it. Did not work for me. Yeah, there's a movie called Summerland, which I enjoyed. I thought it was sweet. And then another movie called Made in Italy that I really liked it's just kind of escapism that I like. And it was about a father, son that get reunited, renovating this house in Tuscany. And it was played by actual real life father, son, Liam Neeson and Mikhail Richardson. And they had, in the movie, they lost their mother / wife and they're grieving over it. And that happened in real life to them. And so everything just kind of has that added layer. And, you know, you got all the Tuscany and I don't know. That's the kind of movie I love. So I really enjoyed it. And so that's what I've been watching.
Great.
Yeah.
You've also been watching a movie for this podcast, haven't you?
Yes. So, yes. So the reason why we wanted to have Sajda on is they have a new section on a new collection on Criterion talking about marriage and conflict in marriage, particularly. This is not a rosy collection of marriage stories. This is a pretty intense group of movies. And so we thought it would be fun to have Conrado bring his wife on, and figured they could relate to the themes of the movie we're going to talk about, and it's called A Separation is the movie we're talking about. So it was this movie that you had seen when it came out, Conrado?
Yeah, I did, but I saw it the one time when it came out, and I have to say I remembered very little of it. I mean, there were certain scenes that I really remembered, and like I remember the ending, I remember the opening, and I remembered I remember the scene in which the little girl is playing with the grandpa's oxygen tank. Oh. Because that is so stressful when that's happening, that I had the very vivid memory of that. But other than that, I remembered surprisingly little. I thought I remembered more. I was surprised by the movie structure watching it this time around.
Yeah. I had never seen it. I'd heard about it, but I hadn't seen it. This is directed by Asghar Farhadi, and it won the Best Foreign Film Oscar that year. And Sajda, what did you think about the movie? Had you seen it before?
I had not seen it before. I thought it was delightful. Although I think my biggest takeaway actually is that it doesn't seem to be a movie about marriage at all. Or not at all, but like, it felt more about like just the lives of these people specifically, and like the trauma that they're kind of going through. And that trauma feels outside of the marriage so much. I mean, obviously them being married takes a big, is a big part of why this is so harrowing, but I think that it's speaking to a lot of other things outside of marriage, which I think is also makes sense, because I feel like sometimes in marriage, the things that stress you the most have nothing really to do with the fact that like the person that you're married to or that you love, right? Like so much of it feels like an outside thing that's kind of infiltrating your marriage and like, you know, kind of causing stress within it. At least that's what I, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wonder if that's kind of also like part of what they're talking about, is that so much of
it's more a movie about families, I think, than it is about marriage, which I mean marriage is part of families, but
yeah,
it's different families. Yeah.
Exactly.
I can totally see that, and I think it's interesting partly because the movie really begins with a couple that is about to get divorced or is separated, right? Mm-hmm. Like it says separation, and it is really, well, you know, it's very typical of Asghar Farhadi's movies, I would say. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have seen any of his other movies, but he's always doing these scenarios that like start out with one little thing and then it gets more complicated and more complicated. And this is kind of how it works in this movie, right? The couple wants to separate, but also kind of the dad doesn't really want to be separated. He's just doing it because the mom insists that she will do it. And then there's this thing with the grandpa, and then a thing happens and there's an accident. But actually the accident has to do with this person, and the other person also has a little bit of blame. So who did what, and whose fault is it of what happened? And that's always, I feel like, in the movies that I've seen of him, it's always this like little complicated pretzel. And at the end you are like, oh, I don't know who's to blame. Like, it's just, everything is so complicated, you know?
Yeah. I've never seen any of his movies before, but I've heard about that and heard about them. And I can see that with this movie, certainly. And yeah, this movie was very stressful, I thought. I mean, in a good way, like, it was well done. But it was stressful to watch, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think at the end, the end, when the movie's over, it's like, I feel like the situation has been resolved to an extent, but I feel like I was left with this feeling of like, it just didn't feel satisfying on purpose. And the ending is very unsatisfying on purpose, right? That's the big question of who, well, I don't know if we want to spoil it, but like the daughter of the main couple has to make a big decision at the end, and they don't show the solution. So there's that question. But even beyond that, I was just like very, it feels like none of the questions in the movie have an answer, really, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a fully satisfying, neat answer. So in that sense, it's very unlike, I guess, most mainstream movies that in which, you know, especially movies in which good and evil and who's right and who's wrong is pretty clear.
Yeah. Blurry in this movie.
Because basically the story is you have this couple that the one woman wants to go. She has papers that will allow her to leave, and he doesn't want to because he's caring for his father, and he hires a woman from like a lower class area that is very more religious than them. He hires her to take care of her, take care of his father, but he ends up, they end up getting in a disagreement, and he ends up pushing her kind of out of the apartment, and she ends up losing her miscarrying her child. And so they get involved in this sort of legal conflict between the couples, between her and her husband, and then this other couple. And did you have one couple that you were sort of more siding with than the other couple?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. I think I felt the most sympathetic for the two women in the couples. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that says about, I don't know,
you,
me, or like just in general, but I did feel, especially for the woman, I think the one who's hired to take care of the grandpa and who is very, like you said, Rachel, very religious, and she has a lot of qualms about that. But she also seems to be in a situation where her husband is, she says her husband has been laid off from his work and he's really depressed about it. He's not been able to find work. So even though she has a daughter and she's pregnant with another child, she feels like she has to come and pick up this work that is maybe not the most acceptable with her religious beliefs, right? It seems to be a problem that she's working for a man who's not living with his wife and that she is taking care of another man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she, and on top of that, she has to bring her child to work, right? Because she doesn't have, that gives me the sense that she doesn't have the money to pay for childcare to someone to take care of her child while she goes to work. So there was a lot of that.
I didn't like her. I don't know if it was just because, so there's a scene where she ties up the father to the bed and just kind of leaves him there. And I found that sort of shocking and kind of cruel. And I think it was hard for me to kind of like her character after that. I found her kind of a little bit mousy and a little bit frustrating. And so I was definitely on team the more modern couple as on their side.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the thing that's interesting about the movie is that you bring up the thing about the dad, about tying up the grandpa, and then I already want to say, like, but she had to do it because she has to do it for a sec, you know, and then you're going to say, no, but she shouldn't have done it because of this reason. And, you know, I feel like that's kind of the conversation that comes out of the movie.
Right, like, mm-hmm. What is the right thing to do, right? And so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think that you should ever tie a person up to the bed. Like it's just, I don't know. I mean, it is very extremely stressful to care for elderly people like that in those situations. It's hard to be a caregiver for that, but I don't know. That she immediately turned me off when she did that. And I felt like I wanted her to be, I guess, a different character than she was, you know? So I was frustrated with her. I'm like, come on. And her blaming this man for the miscarriage, I just felt like he did not, I felt like his actions were pretty reasonable considering coming home and finding your father tied to the bed like that. That would be very upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although I don't know, I feel similarly about tying the dad to the bed, about like pushing her out of the apartment in that way, right? And also
and then accusing her of stealing
the money, and and she obviously coming back for the money because she needs it, because she needs to get paid. And also let's not forget that she, in trying to bring the father back home, might have had an accident with a car. So like at the point when she ties up the grandpa, I don't know how I would feel in a situation when I am like, I have to be with this person and this. And also, I just got run over because of him in a way. I don't know. I find the whole thing very complicated and very hard to pick sides with anyone, except maybe, you know, the people who like the children, you know, like the daughter and even the oldest daughter of the more, I would say, modern/affluent couple. She even she gets a little complicated towards the end, right? When she's asked to testify with the judge and to say whether or not his dad knew that the woman was pregnant and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, and then also you had the tutor of the high school girl who also becomes involved. And so you have, did she hear?
So complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the movie feels like so much about also like what alliances are you gonna make, right? Like, I mean, and I think we end there too, right? Like, it is that question of who do you side with? Who do you think is doing, even if they're doing something that maybe is not necessarily good, are they doing a bad thing for a good reason? I think is like kind of the questions that are like being posed, right? I think that's the question that's being posed with putting the grandpa on the bed. Same thing with the dad pushing her out the door. It's like those things on their own, when you look at them, are like, I think, just probably without question bad, right? Like pushing people, not good. Tying people up, not good. But do you throw in something more complicated when you say, is there a reason behind doing this that is bigger than that action? Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. And I think what's also, and what I would go a step further and say, it's also about asking the question, why do we have this feeling like we need to side up with something, with someone, right? Like, why do we feel like, and at the end, the girl is very much put in that position of who are you going to side with? And I think during the whole movie, we as the spectators, I guess,
it's true,
are put in that position, like who do you side with. And I think something that we haven't mentioned that I think is also important is that this is an Iranian movie, and obviously in Iran there's a lot of censorship and a lot of about what gets to be depicted in movies and what doesn't, And Farhadi, as far as I know, has not been censored as much as other famous Iranian directors. But I do think that there's a level of critique of society that is very kind of sly in his movies, like underlying there about living in, of all of these rules about this society that is very strict, that make a person have to make these decisions that we don't agree with. Like so much of it is because of this woman's religious beliefs that she can't or cannot do certain stuff, right? And then there's about the whole movie begins with the idea that this woman wants to separate her husband, but the law won't allow her to do it unless the husband gives consent to that, right? She was not able to leave the country if her husband doesn't say so. And so comes the next step, where is the husband has to hire someone to take care of his dad, and then everything goes from there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, in the way that they stage the different parts of the movie is very creates a lot of ambiguity. And so, like, for instance, it's not like when he pushes her, it's not like you literally see him like take her and like throw her down, you know, like it's more in like the heat of the moment, he kind of shoves the door like closed, as opposed to, I don't know, it's like there's a little more ambiguity of like what exactly happened. So you are, even kind of as a viewer, you're sort of unsure of kind of what really happened too. Like you're kind of, as you're almost like a juror, kind of weighing out all these different clues as the movie kind of gives you more information.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great observation. And I think you're absolutely right that I feel like every moment almost that is deliberated in the courtroom and then with the movie is not shown, right? Mm-hmm. The moment mm-hmm. when he pushes her, it's like obscured by the door and you can't really see exactly what happened. And the fall is not seen.
Yeah,
when the woman falls. So it leaves open the possibility that she fell on purpose, if you want to be very ungenerous to her. You know, like it leaves that ambiguous. Also, the thing with the car crash, or being with the car accident, is not shown. Mm-hmm. The moment when she decides to tie up the grandpa and why is also not shown. The moment when mm-hmm. they talk about her being pregnant and he purposely does not show exactly where the man is and whether or not he heard it mm-hmm. in that moment. He just shows the other conversation, I feel like, from what I remember. So everything is up. It's all about like what people say happened and whether or not you believe them, which is like how it goes in a lot of times at court. And it's very
evidence-driven, right? Yeah. And so much of, if there's no concrete evidence, it's so much about hearsay, right? So,
mm-hmm. yeah, Saj, did you have a side that you were more that you agreed with more?
I feel like I actually probably lean towards, I'm going to butcher her name, Razi, which is the pregnant woman.
Uh-huh.
In the sense that, like, I feel, I feel like I always have a thing when someone's like poor. I'm like, oh, this person like doesn't have anything. You know what I mean? And especially mm-hmm. I think when it comes to being put in a place of not having power in so many ways for her, in the fact of like in her religion, it's really hard for her to have power, at least specifically in how devout she is to it. And then also just like as a woman, like not, you know what I mean? And then also then being a poor woman, like all of those things kind of on top of each other, for me, layer into this idea of, although you can do something that is wrong, there's like a level of desperation there that I don't necessarily feel so attached to the other family, especially the dad, because I feel like there's a lot of manipulation happening on for him. There's a lot of people in this movie that I think are on his side a little bit more in the way that I don't feel is the same for her. I feel like she's really got her husband and her sister, and the rest of the cast is really not on her side.
Maybe at the beginning, but I think a lot of them kind of flip, right? Like the teacher, she kind of flips her
But I feel like the teacher flips her testimony, and this is just my opinion, okay. But I feel like the teacher flips her testimony in a way to save herself, which is fine, but you know what I mean? It doesn't seem like it's out of because she feels like something bad happened to the woman. It's because this person has been threatening me. Now I'm like ingrained in this thing. I've already had to go to court. Mm-hmm. This person shows up at my work and says they might like do something to me after work.
Right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like it's from the perspective of, mm-hmm. or not the perspective, but it's like for the benefit of.
Yeah. Well, and you do get the feeling that she is in a abusive relationship. Her husband is seems like a very angry man.
Right. That's it. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, that's kind of that is hinted at, right? With the drawing of the little girl, that mm-hmm. becomes a question whether or not she drew and what she drew. So you're right. I had forgotten a little bit about that element.
And at least definitely at this point, what we do see from him is that he's not in control of his own self, right? Like right now, for sure, we may have never seen him do anything to her, but we know that he's abusive to himself, which in that case doesn't help her, right? Because like you said before, it feels like then she feels the urgency to like take care of everything and everyone. She's got to take care of herself, the newborn, her baby, and then also her husband, who's like not in a good space. So it just feels like to me, it's like the odds are so stacked against her in a way that I like, as much as I think it's terrible what she did to the grandfather, I also wonder like what do you do in desperate situations? Like what do you do if you feel like your baby is dying in your belly and you have to go to a doctor, right? Like what how do you get away with that, right? And you don't have money to pay for a car to take you and the grandfather there, and the, you know what I mean? Like
it seems like
so much. But also then you see her, she thinks that she's gonna like kind of get away with this thing of like possibly, you know, getting some form of like reparations for what happened to her, and then all of a sudden you slowly see that like, oh wait, so it wasn't, you're not actually sure if the miscarriage is coming from the fall. You think it's from you getting hit by a car, which then is not the dad's fault. You know what I mean? That's more of an accident, and like all of those things kind of like coming into play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's the dramatic scene too, where she's asked to swear before the judge, I guess it is there that, and you know, she says, I cannot swear. And because she doesn't know whether it was the accident or the getting pushed. Like you said, the push is kind of, it's not like a dramatic push in the sense, it's more just like he kind of closed the door hard, kind of a thing. And so what is it that caused her to lose the baby? And they want her to swear, but she is not willing to do it. And then that makes her husband very angry. And it's pretty stressful movie to watch.
I think it's interesting what you say, because now you're talking about the push, and I'm starting to think, I actually kind of remember him pushing her and then closing the door. And I feel like I'm almost want to say, okay, let's go back and look at the tape. And then
if I'm remembering it correctly, that's exactly what I thought. I was like, but doesn't he like take his hand like on at least either her shoulder or her head is how I feel.
I felt like he was just kind of getting her out the door. Like he was just kind of,
I also feel like she pushed her arm. So I don't know. It feels like each of us has a different memory of this moment.
Yeah.
Depending on who we were kind of siding with.
At that time.
Yeah. Yeah, to me it was like, I'm mad at you for tying up my father, which I was mad at her also. And it's like, get out of the door. You know, like, get out of my apartment is kind of the feeling. But yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it's a... it's definitely, you feel like you're there in the way it's filmed. You feel like you're there in the apartment or in the magistrate office, whatever you want to call it, there with them. So, and you kind of feel like you're an additional person there, involved in all of this.
Yeah.
And so.
And all this talk also makes me think, like, what incredible acting, in my opinion. I don't know if you guys agree, but I think it's like such a great ensemble. Everyone is like, because everyone is able to play, like we were talking about, with both sides, right? And really show where their characters are coming from. I think it's also a really good script in that way, that like it's not trying to paint anyone as a very simple, like everyone has more than one side to them. Again, I would say the guy who plays the judge at that table, not the biggest character, but he does, I think, a really great job of like feeling like an exasperated bureaucrat, but also someone who's like trying to solve this thing, is trying to keep his distance from the situation, but is also interested in finding what exactly happened.
Yeah.
Though he has to abide by all these crazy rules of the legal system.
Yeah, it's true. I think if it was an American movie, they would be a lot more archetypal as far as your characters. You'd have the more sort of obvious, dominating husband. You'd have, without any redeeming qualities at all, you'd have the tough girl, girl power kind of, you know, you'd have these sort of archetypes as opposed to these more sort of complex characters where you're really, you know, you're not sure about them. You know, they each do pretty unlikable stuff and in the film.
Yeah, the one character that I feel like, and the one moment that I feel like will definitely not be in an American version, is when the wife of the modern couple, I think her name is Simin, when she comes back for her daughter towards the end, and she's trying to strike a deal with the husband to take the daughter, and then the daughter does not want to go, and she really yells at her very aggressively. I don't know if you guys remember.
Yeah.
I remember thinking like, oh wow, like this character has been, I think, so far the one who's like a little bit removed from the whole legal situation,
right?
And has been able to kind of judge it from afar, be a little judgy of the husband and everyone else. And in this moment, she's really at a tension point where you can see that she's also capable of this type of aggression, right? And even though she's doing it because she really cares about her daughter, and or whatever. She's still able to do things as, I guess, problematic as what the other people do.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So what do you think makes this a Criterion worthy selection?
Good question. I mean, I think it's obviously... it's a very celebrated movie. It, like you said, won the Oscar for foreign film. It was nominated for a screenplay, which is not very common, or at least it wasn't in 2011 for a foreign movie to get that kind of nomination. It also won a lot of prizes at the Berlin Film Festival that year. It, I also think Iranian cinema had a really big moment in the 90s. With Abbas Kiarostami and Jafar Panahi, and it was very celebrated. And then it kind of, not disappeared, but it was a little less enthusiastic in the 2000s. And in the 2010s, it kind of came back with Asghar Farhadi a little bit, I feel like. And I think that's also part of what makes him an important director. And I would say of the movies that I've seen of him, this is probably the best one. So it makes sense for it to be. Spotlighted in this way, although he's made other really good movies. About Ellie, which I think I might have talked about that on your podcast once, it's also a really good movie with also a situation that is very much something tragic happens and then everyone is a little bit to blame.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it is a good choice for the Criterion, because It highlights another culture. I think it's really well made. I think it's award-winning, all of those reasons. Sajda, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that there's just something so, from, I guess, what I have seen of the Criterion channel, there's like an air of things that kind of get put on there. And it feels like this fits in, just specifically, I think, in the way in which, like, the drama of the movie is presented. Also, there just is this, like, there's such an unfolding and there's so many layers in this movie that I think probably fits what the Criterion is, like, highlighting in types of movies that they feel need to be, like, showcased, is this idea of, like, what movies can do as far as telling the story of our lives. And I think that this movie fits in so well with that, right? Like, mm-hmm. this, not only is it, like, showing us something about a culture that we maybe don't always, like, see, and from that perspective, mm-hmm. But the way in which it also tells it just feels like it's such, it's a movie that loves movie making and what movies mm-hmm. can do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. What about on our pretentiousness scale? One to 10, we have a 10 being a Godard film, really obtuse film, versus 0 being super accessible blockbuster film.
Zero being the Country Bears movie.
Yeah, the Country Bears.
That makes sense.
So what do you think, Conrado?
I would say definitely has to be on the more pretentious mm-hmm. side. I would say because it's trying to talk about all these very important themes. And I think a movie that is so complicated and demand and that ends in a seemingly unsatisfying note is on the more, it's not the country. Like, it does not all, everything doesn't get resolved, and it wants you to really engage with it and think. At the same time, though, I think that it's very accessible for what it is, in my opinion, just because the situation is very clear and is so engaging that I feel like a person who doesn't usually watch foreign films could be able to just get into it just because the situation is so understandable and it's so, the mystery of it and the revelations are so gripping. So I would say maybe like a 8 or 7 is my...
Yeah, I gave it a 7, so I'm right there with you. I agree. I think the ambiguity probably makes it a little pretentious, and I definitely know some people that would be like, wait, what happens? And be really frustrated by that, whereas other people, it's like, oh, that makes it interesting. That makes it artistically interesting, and then other people want everything tied up into a bow and kind of, it's also, it's not a hopeful movie. It's not a movie that makes you feel good which is more usually my typical energy and my typical what I'm drawn to, but yeah, I don't know, what do you agree, Sajda?
Yeah, I definitely think like a 7 is like around where I would feel, not pretentious in that I feel like the film making or the makers are trying to be super pretentious, but I feel like the film itself, just because of how complicated it is, just already lends itself into that area.
Yes. Very good. All right, well, this is a challenging part for me, is we try to present a remake of, if we're going to remake this movie, what would we do? And I struggled with it for this one because I just feel like the obvious answer is to basically make an English version of it and to have your big name stars play the roles. And that to me is boring. I'm not really that, I don't know. So it's like, what if I wanted to, if it was up to me, and I was remaking it, what would I want to do versus what would actually happen? And so I was pretty stumped, I must admit, on what to do. But the best I could come up with is for something that would be interesting to me as opposed to just an English remake, is, have you ever seen Anomalisa? Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah.
I think if you took an Anomalisa approach to this movie, I think it could be interesting. And you did like a weird stop motion using the style of Anomalisa. And you, I think if you did it in English, that would be fine. I don't know. I just think there's something about that movie that captures sort of the sadness and the ambiguity of modern life and relationships, that if you applied the same story with that kind of stop motion and particularly the way the faces are in that movie, I think could be interesting. And so that was the best I was able to come up with of something aside from just your I don't know, who would they probably get, and it would probably be nominated for Oscars, and you get Oscar Isaac and Alicia Vikander, and you know, like, I could see that kind of thing happening, and I'm sure, and Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson, that'd probably be what they would do, something like that, which would probably be great, but it's not very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. I think your idea is interesting. Now I'm wondering, I don't know if I've ever seen an animated movie that has quite this type of feel to it. I feel like when we get animation for more adult audiences, it's either very action and violence heavy, or it's more like Anomalisa, which is more like, I feel like, an
surreal
character study sort of thing. And I don't know that there's been a really plotty movie that is animated for adults. I am struggling to find one now. I don't know if I can.
Yeah, Anomalisa is probably as close as I can think of, just off the top of my head at least, that you know, because it's just basically about this man, and he's at this, you know, convention, giving the speeches, and he's having this existential crisis, and probably as close as you'd get.
Yeah, I feel like, yes, and yet I feel like the vibe is a little different, right? Because in Anomalisa feels to me a little more slower pace than this movie. This movie feels very frantic to me. So I would be interested to see that, what you're saying, a version.
At least it would be something interesting and different about it, as opposed to, we're just going to do the same thing and make it English, which does not interest me. I couldn't think of anything else. I mean, the other thing that I did think of is that, what's it called? The Israeli movie that they made the Broadway musical off of.
Is it?
What's it?
The Band's Visit?
Yes, The Band's Visit. I could see something kind of like that. But
Separation, the musical?
Yeah, the musical. But I don't know. I struggled with this one to think of a remake that wasn't just make it English.
Yeah, I think we struggled a little bit too. Mm-hmm. Like, what was your idea?
Mine was to kind of evade the question completely and go for the spin-off instead of a remake.
Ooh.
And that follows Terame, I think is the eldest daughter's name in the movie. Follow her, what her life is like, you know, 20 years in the future, and like, you know,
it's a good idea.
Would be the only thing that I could come up with is like following a different character's perspective. Yeah.
A sequel. Like that. It's been almost, how many years? It's almost been 10 years almost. So, you know, we're getting there. Maybe after this whole coronavirus thing is over, we can get that greenlit. Sequel. I would be interested to see that. My guess is maybe a little less creative, but I was thinking this movie and then the other movies that I've seen from Farhadi and other Iranian movies that I've seen, I've come to think that something that I've learned about Iranian society, that there's a lot of arguing And I was thinking, like, people, I mean, and maybe it's because of the way that these movies are structured, in which something happens and there's a lot of great arguing in the movies. I love how he does all these couples, like, arguing with each other and families arguing with each other. And I thought, if you were going to do it in America, who would you get to do this kind of great arguing? And I thought, I would like to see Asghar Farhadi come over to the U.S. and make a movie with either the cast of The Sopranos or the cast of Uncut Gems. Because I would love to see, like, Adam Sandler and Idina Menzel, like, arguing in an Asghar Farhadi movie. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think that's my pitch.
That's true. The language of arguing in this movie, obviously we read subtitles, so we don't know, like, mm-hmm. for sure what it is, but it was really, it's quite interesting the way in which people try to phrase what they want in an argument, right? Like, and that's mm-hmm. very much what kind of, like, comes across here, like picking and choosing your words very specifically when you're arguing, and how that, like, worked in this movie was actually kind of mm-hmm. brilliant.
Yeah, you know, it's true. Yeah, it could be. Could be interesting. I think I see a Oscars in our future with us in charge. I think so. Well, let us know if you have any pitches of what you would do for this movie. And so, all right. Well, what do you have picked for our next episode, Coronado?
So our next episode, I just realized that we haven't done a Latin American movie before. So I wanted to do something along those lines. And I finally landed on the movie Cronos from 1993, which is the first movie directed by one Guillermo del Toro, Academy Award winner, director of Pan's Labyrinth and The Shape of Water. So I've never seen it, but I've heard good things, and I am excited to give it a watch.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That will be really fun. Well, very good. So there we go. Let us know your thoughts of this movie. Maybe if you are on a side, let us know. That we would love to hear your thoughts. And Saja, thanks so much for coming on and joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was really fun. We'll have to have you on for a lighter movie next time. but you can follow us at Criterion Pod on Twitter, and we would love to have your thoughts there on Twitter. And Conrado, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Coco Hits New York.
Great. And Sajda, what about you?
You can find me on both Twitter and Instagram at It's Sajda, ITSSADDAA. Ooh, extra.
Okay, great. Well, we can have all that in the description. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So please check that out. Also, you can find me at the Hallmarkies podcast, which talk about a different depictions of marriage over there and romance than in this movie. But we have some really fun stuff happening over at Hallmarkies podcast, and I'd love for you to check it out. And so thanks so much. And we'll talk next month. All right. Bye, everyone.